Support for On Point and the following message come from Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Home plays a big role in your life. That's why Quicken Loans created Rocket Mortgage. It lets you apply simply and understand the entire mortgage process fully, so you can be confident that you're getting the right mortgage for you. To get started, go to rocketmortgage.com/onpoint.
From WBUR Boston and NPR, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point.
I may look like a city slicker, shining up through my shoes. Underneath, I'm just a cotton picker, picking out a mess of clues.
Ricky Skaggs has had a mandolin in his hands nearly all his life. His father bought him his first mandolin when Ricky was 5 years old. At seven, he performed with Lester Flatt and Earl Scruggs on their television show. And then came the big story, hits, Grammys, and his own path. This hour on Point, Ricky Skaggs. You can join us on air or online where this conversation is always on. Does Ricky Skaggs' music speak to you? 800-423-8255 is our number. 800-423-TALK or join us anytime at onpointradio.org or on Twitter and Facebook at On Point Radio. Joining me now from Nashville, Tennessee is Ricky Skaggs, country, bluegrass, gospel, and folk musician with a career spanning more than 50 years. 15-time Grammy Award winner. Ricky Skaggs, it's wonderful to have you. Welcome to On Point.
It's great to be with you, Tom. Thanks for having me on.
Congratulations on your latest Grammy for just right out of 2016. When did you win your first one, Ricky? How far back?
Gosh, you know, I think it was probably late 80s. It was for a recording that I had done, actually, though, in the 70s. I think it had been redone somehow, but it was with J.D. Crew in the New South. It was an instrumental called Fireball.
It's so great. I know you've got your mandolin there today, and I think the guitar as well. And before this hour's out, we hope to hear you play both of them.
Yes.
Where are you in your musical career now? I mean, you came up so traditionally and then brought the kind of new sort of traditionalist sound to country, but country went more and more pop. What's the arc of your career, Ricky? How would you describe it?
Well, as it went more and more pop, I went more and more back to Eastern Kentucky. You know, it's similar to what happened with Ralph Stanley when his brother Carter passed away. Ralph Stanley went back to the mountains. I mean, he went back and dug into that old well of creativity, that old well, that ancient well, I call it, the old sounds. And Ralph Stanley was so well known for that. And you know, he was one of my teachers, and I got to work with him on the road when I was 15 and
played in his band.
Worked with him, a couple of years, and it was a great university to go to, you know, but I had such a country music career in the early 80s. I mean, I guess my first number one country hit was in early 1981, but I got my record deal with Epic on CBS back then, before Sony bought it, and that was my introduction kind of into mainstream, you know, country music, which I would call mainstream. I was with Emmylou Harris's Hot Band, a member of her band for 2 years before that, and she had given me a great opportunity to sing, you know, some step out lead parts on some of her records. That was, you know, hugely popular at the time. Emmylou's records were And so she was, I think she was always kind of knowing that she'd have me for a while, but, you know, that my real focus and my goal was to go off on my own. You know, Rodney Crowell had done the same kind of thing being in her band.
Right.
So anyway, when I came to Nashville in 1980, you know, bluegrass music had always been the foundations of everything that I played, every kind of music that I played, no matter what it was. Bluegrass was the foundations, and I learned the harmonies, those intricate harmonies, and I even, you know, taught a lot of those to Emmy and to her band, you know, when I was there in the band. Her records, especially the two records, Roses in the Snow and her Christmas record called Light of the Stable, was very, very much acoustic. And actually, when she went to turn that record, turn Roses in the Snow in to Warner Brothers, they said, "What's this?" Mm. And she said, "Well, this is this is my new record." And they said, "No, it's not." And she said, "Oh, yes, it is." And she was right, and proved them wrong, because that's exactly what people were ready to hear. And that was another marker for me to realize, wait a minute, this music is not dead. This music still has an audience. It just needs to get out there where people can hear it.
I want to hear some of the arc of that, but if you'll indulge us, I don't know, you must have heard this 1,000 times, but there's this remarkable recording. Your dad had given you a mandolin when you were 5 years old. By 1961, you were 7 and actually appeared on Lester Flatt and Earl Scruggs' country music variety show playing mandolin alongside that legendary duo and their band. How did you end up on the TV? We'll hear it in just a second, but how did you end up on the show, Ricky Skaggs?
Goodness. My dad never met a stranger, and we moved to Nashville from Eastern Kentucky with kind of a purpose in mind.
With you and your talent in mind, right?
Yeah, that's right. Dad wanted to get, he just knew if I could get on the Grand Ole Opry, I could make it. I could really be, have a career or some kind of thing like that at 7 years old. Mm. But, he just knew that I needed to be on the Opry. And so anyway, we moved to Goodlettsville, which is a little suburb here. And so Dad had made friends with the backstage guard, Mr. Bell. And so Mr. Bell would let us come in and just kind of stand around and, don't touch anybody's instruments.
Literally the security guard, not the, not just
the door. Yeah. The door guard, the door manager back there.
Yeah.
You have road managers and then you have door managers.
Right.
And Mr. Bell was great. But I was back there playing my mandolin one time and just kind of leaning up against the wall, and Earl Scruggs walked by. And, Earl had probably two sons at that time, Gary and Randy. And I would say that they were, maybe they were already playing a little music themselves. So I think he was kind of tender toward that, his young
age.
Sons would play. Yeah. And so my mandolin playing, I guess, impressed him enough that, he asked me and my dad if we'd come down for an audition for the television show next week. And so, we did, and we made the audition, and then they set up a date for me to record the show with them. And it was like that. I mean, it was that easy or that simple.
That's amazing. Get to know the guard of the door. Here it was, 1961. Ricky Skaggs being introduced onto the show of Lester Flatt and Earl Scruggs.
What you going to do for us this time?
Ruby,
that's a good
That's still incredible to hear. 7 years old, and you're just plucking away there. And
that voice could spay cats in four counties. I tell you, I could always had a career in that, I guess.
Did you know early on that? I mean, I want to get the sound of some of your first hits in here, just to see where you had to go to make that happen. I mean, there you are singing Ruby, famous old song. You could hardly have understood what it meant at 7 years old, but you got it across.
Yeah, I didn't know what she was mad at.
No.
But I liked the song.
But here, that's 20 years later, flash forward, and we've got Crying My Heart Out Over You. I think this was your first
number one.
Yeah, number one on the Billboard Hot Country Singles chart. Ricky Skaggs. This was written by Lester Flatt, Earl Scruggs, Carl Butler, Earl Sherry. Ballad of Heartbreak, Ricky Skaggs, 1981.
Now I'm crying my heart out over you. Those blue eyes, now they smile at someone new. Ever since you went away, I died.
Ricky Skaggs, 1981. You had a lot of chart-topping hits.
Yeah.
Did you feel that you were still sort of one with your upbringing with that sound right there, or were you leaning into a pop sound that was it comfortable for you? Were you happy with it?
It's funny, Tom. We were talking, you know, before, and then when I started listening to that, mm-hmm. and we were talking about Ralph earlier, that is Stanley Brothers style harmony from the 40s.
Mm-hmm.
It truly is. When Pee Wee Lambert, this great harmony singer and mandolin player, which I own his mandolin now, which is one of the greatest acquisitions that I have in my instrument line. But when he was singing with Ralph and Carter Stanley, they were doing those kind of harmonies. And so I learned those things so young mm-hmm. that I thought, you know, this is a great song. Now, Flat Scruggs didn't do it that way. I mean, when I learned it from them, they mm-hmm. did a tenor, which is the third above the lead, mm-hmm. and then they did a baritone, which Earl sung the baritone underneath the lead.
Mm-hmm.
But the way the Stanleys did, Pee Wee Lambert, he took the baritone underneath Carter and flipped it up a whole octave, and that's where the high lonesome sound of that music, to me, where that was created. You had a 1, 3, and then a 5 above instead of 5 below,
yeah.
which musical terms, it's amazing the sound of that, and it was very mountain, very rural, very ancient sound to me.
You can still hear the high lonesome loud and clear. Country music's mainstream would eventually go off in a much more pop direction. Ricky Skaggs would do a lot more bluegrass and has done lately. This is Dog's Breath from 2006. With Ricky Skaggs and Kentucky Thunder's 2006 album Instrumentals. The great Ricky Skaggs is with us this hour. He's going to play live for us from Nashville. You can join us. How do you know Ricky Skaggs? From his country hits, from his bluegrass prowess. Ricky, we're very glad to have you with us. Please stand by there in Nashville. We will be right back to you. I'm Tom Ashbrook with Ricky Skaggs. This is On Point.
Support for On Point and the following message come from Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Chances are you're confident when it comes to your work, your hobbies, and your life. Rocket Mortgage gives you that same level of confidence when it comes to buying a home or refinancing your existing home loan. Rocket Mortgage is simple, allowing you to fully understand all the details and be confident you're getting the right mortgage for you. To get started, go to rocketmortgage.com/onpoint. Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states. NMLS ConsumerAccess.org, number 3030.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour with country music, bluegrass music legend, Ricky Skaggs, about his life and music, the country's life and music. Now, joins us today from Nashville, behind us right here, Ricky Skaggs performing Uncle Pen. This is off the 1984 album Don't Cheat in Our Hometown. Uncle Pen, written by one of his heroes, the father of bluegrass himself, no less, Bill Monroe. You can join us this hour. Where does Ricky Skaggs' music take you? And are you listening for the licks, the lyrics, the heritage and tradition? 800-423-8255 is our number. 800-423-TALK. Ricky Skaggs joins us from Nashville, Tennessee. Bill Monroe, how did that make it into your album in 1984? You were in the middle of your sort of string of big, big hits at that time. Ricky, was this part of that or an exception to that?
Oh, man. You know, I just didn't want to be real predictable, you know, mm-hmm. and we had been doing that song live, you know, been doing it on the road in front of, you know, 15,000, 20,000 people sometimes,
mm-hmm.
you know,
yep.
and And people loved it. It was just such a, you know, such a show getter, you know, mm-hmm. such a, you know, people just, they dance and they jump up and down and they just sang along. And I'd say, y'all sang the chorus, you know. So I thought, we got to record this, you know. I mean, for this generation to hear, you know, my generation to hear Mr. Monroe, you know, and his version of that, you know, and just, that's what I was always trying to do, was trying to bring my heroes along with me. I had, you know, I had Mr. Monroe, I had, you know, Flat Scruggs, I had, you know, the Stanley Brothers. Mm-hmm. To me, those three groups are the ones that really laid the foundations for what we know now as bluegrass. And they were all three different, but they all took from Mr. Monroe's style, because he, it's like one day there wasn't bluegrass, and mm-hmm. the next day there was. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was just, and it was the addition of Earl Scruggs. I got to give him, you know, much, much credit for the sound of bluegrass. You know, when he came in Bill Monroe's band, that really was, that was the cog that slipped right into the, you know, into the wheel. I mean, that truly is what started it. I have recordings, live recordings from the Grand Ole Opry from that time period, 1940, 45. He came along in December of 45, but those early, you know, early recordings that they did up in Chicago, you know, in 46 and 47, they were with Mr. Monroe a couple of years. But those first recordings, and then, of course, even the live stuff, I mean, you could hear, it sounded like the Beatles on the Ed Sullivan Show. I mean, the crowd was just like nuts. They were just going crazy at the Ryman Auditorium. And, I just played there last night, you know, and I just said, man, I love this place. There's all these great halls that I've played mm-hmm. in my life all around the world, you know. There's none equal to the Ryman. It's just got something for me that makes my heart sing. And I think part of just knowing the history of all the people that have stood on that stage and just poured their heart out. I mean, you know, Hank Williams having, you know, seven encores, you know, standing ovations. And, you know, and of course, Elvis coming there and not doing so dang good. I mean, you know, he came there and did Blue Moon of Kentucky, and they thought, that's not the way Blue Moon of Kentucky goes, you know.
You go.
Mr. Monroe was happy about it. I mean, you know, but still, I mean, that's just such a great place. And so I think, you know, with the addition of Earl Scruggs, that music really clicked and started going. So I just felt like that there's always been I hate to use the word market, you know, mm-hmm. but I mean, you have to, in you know, in terms, because, you know, they were using it back against me, you know, label heads, when I would go try to get a record deal, you know, mm-hmm. There's no market for bluegrass. Mm-hmm. All I said, well, if there's no market for bluegrass, then why does Toyota, American Express, Ford, all these, you know, huge mm-hmm. companies, why do they use a banjo and a mandolin and a fiddle in their advertisement, if it doesn't draw people's attention? Think about it.
Yeah. I want to think about how that all that stacked up against your big string of hits in the 80s. We heard early in that stretch. It was amazing. I mean, you're now here, you sit with 15 Grammys. You had 11 number one hits in that run from, I think, 81 to 89. This was the final one. This was Lovin' Only Me. This mm-hmm. is off of 1999, off of Kentucky Thunder, written by Hillary Cantor and Even Stevens. Unrequited love, but a sense of optimism. Let's listen. This is the last big number one single in that amazing stretch. Lovin' Only Me, Ricky Skaggs.
Someday you'll see it's gonna be no one for you. Only me sometime, sweet destiny, will open up your heart. And that's when I'm gonna be around. Just you wait and see. No more lonely you when you're loving only me.
1989. I've got questions about that run, but we've got callers on that front as well, if I may. Ricky Skaggs joins us from Nashville, Tennessee. Rod in Dover, Ohio. Rod, you're on the air with Ricky Skaggs.
Hi, Tom. Hi, Ricky.
Hey, Rod.
How you doing?
Oh, just fine. Doing really good.
What are you thinking, Rod? What's on your mind?
My question was, I just wondered what it was like to transition from basically mainstream country music to bluegrass, to where we probably didn't hear you as much on the radio anymore. Did that, like, take a big hit on your career or anything like that?
Well, it's just really, it's how, what you call your career, you know. Back when I was playing a lot of country music, I thought I had a career, but really my career had me. You know, I mean, it was just lots of mouths to feed, lots of tanks to put, put diesel in and all that kind of stuff. There were just, 25 people on the payroll and a lot to keep fed. But really, when Mr. Monroe passed away in 96 and my father passed away the same year, and those two men were just... They were such strong pillars in my life that loved bluegrass, loved traditional mountain music. And country was taking off on this whole tangent of the circus tours, you know, where they'd have 14 buses and 12 tractor trailers. I never really saw myself as a big arena style entertainer, I'm more of a concert artist, a performer, and not that I can't play for big crowds because we have and connected with them, but I was coming back to bluegrass when I transitioned to bluegrass. A lot of people don't realize that was how I grew up. I started playing that, so it wasn't like I was having to learn all this stuff over again. I just felt like I was filling a void that had been left by Mr. Monroe's passing, and a lot of the bluegrassers, you kind of got to know how sacred they are toward Mr. Bill Monroe. What's he doing back here, trying to take Mr. Bill Monroe's place? Well, he'll never do that, and that was not the intent at all. I mean, I wanted to honor him, and I have been true to my word to him that I would honor him and honor his music, and it's not going to die in my lifetime, and I don't think it certainly didn't die in his lifetime, and I think he worried about that, in the last few, months of his life. He and I got very, very close the last probably 10 years of his life, but I think it was the smartest thing I could have ever done. I started my own record label, Skaggs Family Records, and I don't sell as many records as I used to, but the ones I sell I get to own and keep, so...
Well, not going to die. If you don't mind, we'd like to make it very much alive right now. I think you've got guitar and mandolin there, and maybe something with your guitar to start with. We'll get to that mandolin. But
yeah.
What are you going to play? Halfway Home Cafe, is that what we've got here?
Yeah.
Tell us about the song.
Well, it's a great song. It's a song about forgiveness, really. And my friend Paul Overstreet sent this to me on the... back in the analog days, he sent it to me on a cassette.
Okay.
He said, "I'll put it in your mailbox," and he meant my mailbox down at the end of the road because we didn't have
not email.
And that's right, not email. So anyway, when I heard the song, I absolutely loved it. Put it on hold and went in and recorded it. But it's just an incredibly great song. I wish I could write songs like this. He's an amazing writer and a great friend.
Let us hear it.
I was pouring coffee for table number one. I couldn't help but hearing what was going on. It got my attention when I heard a young man's voice saying, "Sheriff, I'll be going now if it's all right with you boys. Those years I spent in prison stole too much time from me. I won't waste another minute. If I'm really free, I'm going home. Family's waiting for me, I'm going home. I'm amazed that they still love me. They forgive me for the bitter seeds I've sown. Heaven knows I've been away too long. Now I'm going home. A burger and a special for table number 8. I was bussing number 7 when I heard her young heart break. He told her it was over,
they could never meet again. Then he found a taste of courage twisting on his wedding band. Her tears began to fall, but they could not touch his heart. I heard him say, I'm sorry, but it was all wrong from the start. I'm going home. My family's waiting for me. I'm going home. I'm amazed that they still love me. They forgive me for the bitter seeds I've sown. Heaven knows I've been away too long. Now I'm going home. There's a million other stories from the halfway home cafe. It's a never-ending saga, and they're played out every day. But this one's finally over. The food's all put away, and the coffee pot stands empty at the halfway home cafe. But over in the corner, at table number three, sits a father and a runaway. Well, it looks that way to me. I said, I hate to interrupt you, but it's really getting late. The young girl looked up smiling. She said, Mister, that's okay. I'm going home. Family's waiting for me. I'm going home. I'm amazed that they still love me. They forgive me for the bitter seeds I've sown. Heaven knows I've been away too long. Now I'm going home. I'm going home.
Ricky Skaggs, live with us from Nashville, Tennessee, with Halfway Home Cafe. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. That's just beautiful. Thank you so much for that. Lots of callers for you. Susan in Savannah, Georgia. You're on with Ricky Skaggs. He's been working down there in Nashville, but you're on with him right now. Hi, Susan.
Hey, Tom.
Hi.
Hi, Susan.
Hey, Ricky. I just wanted to say thank you for what you do. I went to college in Boone, North Carolina, and would spend my time going to Merlefest, and never had been introduced to that before. And I actually have a picture of me and you and Doc Watson.
Oh, that's great. I love Doc, and I miss him.
I know, what a loss, but you know, I just wanted to comment that the music is a kinder, sweeter, gentler perspective on life, and I think the more we can get that in the world now, the better, and keep up the work, and just thank you for being a part of my life and changing my life.
Thank you, Susan. I appreciate that. That's always a blessing to hear, you know, from folks, and that's one of the reasons I try my best to always go out now. I didn't used to, but I go out after every show and allow people to say what you just said, if they want to say that, obviously.
Sure.
But if they want to say, oh, man, that was a terrible show tonight. I mean, I'm a big boy. I can take that, too. But it's, you know, some people just need to tell you that, you know, not that they've talked to you, and it's not a fame thing, but it's just like, you know, I just want you to know, you know, what your music has meant to me. And those are things that lets me know that we're doing the right thing. You know, this is the right thing for me.
And I can hear, of course, in the song we just heard, Halfway Home Cafe, and many others, that kinder, sweeter, gentler sound. But the old school music had also sorrow and pathos in it. I mean, do you see a gap that's opened up these days between old school and new in terms of gentleness?
Well, we could sure use a lot of gentleness these days, Tom.
Yeah,
you know, just in everything. But I think, you know, I think these young kids, and I'm, you know, I used to be the youngest guy in the band, you know, honestly.
Yeah,
I'm 62 now. But now I've got a bunch of young rascals in my band. They're like, I think there's four guys that are under 30. They're still in their 20s. And And then I got, you know, and then some crew guys that's in their 20s. So it's amazing. It's not quite like Romper Room on the bus, but it's it certainly is all these young guys. And the one thing that they absolutely love is just the fact that they're getting to learn and go to school in the old music, you know. And I'm really happy to get to teach them that.
Ricky Skaggs is with us from Nashville, Tennessee this hour. We just had him live on guitar. We'll have him live on mandolin when we come back. It's such a pleasure to have you right here, Mr. Skaggs. This is Foggy Mountaintop. In 2002, Ricky Skaggs, Earl Scruggs, and Doc Watson got together on stage for the first time to film a concert for PBS's Great Performance series. Wow, a little bit from that right here. 2003, The Three Pickers just came out. Foggy Mountaintop. You can join us this hour. What's your question for Ricky Skaggs on life, music, performance, the guitar, the mandolin, his life? 800-423-8255 is our number. 800-423-TALK. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We'll be right back.
If I was on some foggy mountaintop, I'd sail away to the west. I'd sail all around this whole wide world.
Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking with country music, bluegrass music legend Ricky Skaggs this hour about his life and music, the country's life and music right now. He joins us from Nashville, Tennessee. We've had him live on guitar. He'll be live on mandolin in just a moment. He's on tour these days, and the lines are open. What's your question for Ricky Skaggs on life, music, performance, the mandolin, guitar? In the age of slick pop country, how do you see, hear Ricky Skaggs, and how do politics bleed into music these days? Where would a country and bluegrass stand on that spectrum? 800-423-8255 is our number, 800-423-TALK. This is Connemara off the 1999 album Ancient Tones. Ricky Skaggs and his band Kentucky Thunder. You hear just how tight and focused all of this is. It's great to have him with us from the studio in Nashville. 15-time Grammy Award winner. 11 number one hits on the Billboard Hot Country Songs chart. Dom, really just huge there in the 80s, and then more into the bluegrass lately. Jim in Omaha, Nebraska, you're on with Ricky Skaggs.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
Hey, Ricky, I was wondering how your relationship with Bruce Hornsby got started. I was pretty surprised when it first happened, but it obviously works. And, you know, I can still hear your influence on him in his latest recording.
I know it. That's great. You know, oh, we love Bruce. I met him in the, I think it was the probably late 80s. We were doing the same show up in Horseheads, New York. It was a 4th of July thing. Judy Collins was there. Don McLean was there. And me and Bruce. And he just happened to walk into my dressing room and introduce himself and say, hey, you know, if you guys want to get up and, you know, come out and play mandolin, fiddle, whatever you want to play, you know, on one of our songs, that'd be great. We like guests and we like jamming. So I said, well, hey, he's a brother. So, anyway, we went out and picked a song that we felt like we could play on. And that was really the first meeting. And then it probably was, I don't know, 8, maybe 10 years later, I was hosting, a television show from Nashville called Live at the Ryman, and CMT had it, and then of course TNN had it first, and then CMT. And one of the shows that I had guests on was Bruce Hornsby, Vince Gill, Mark O'Connor, and Bela Fleck. That was quite a night. And that's some super pickers right there. And so we just had a great time. And during that show, I know I mentioned to Bruce that I was recording a tribute to Bill Monroe record called Ricky Skaggs and Friends, a tribute to Bill Monroe. And what I wanted to do in that record was to try to bring people that were of different genres of music that Bill Monroe's music had influenced and had made its way into them. So John Fogerty came along, Charlie Daniels, Travis Tritt, the Dixie Chicks, quite a few artists that we had on there, Mary Chapin Carpenter, and sang Bill Monroe songs. And I asked Bruce if he would come along and be part of that. And he was the first guy to say yes, the first guy to show up at the studio. And his our recording together on that Darling Corey, which was an old Monroe Brothers mm-hmm. tune, ended up, being the first record, first song on the record. And so we both realized that every time we got together, sparks flew. And so we started talking about a time where we, could get together and do a record, And so we did the Skaggs Hornsby record, a studio record at my place here in Nashville. And then we went out and toured that and started recording the live shows. And then that's what the live record, Cluck Old Hen, became. So, and that's where that came from.
Jim, I appreciate your call from Omaha. Let me get one more, if I may. Ricky Skaggs from Columbia, South Carolina. Ozell is calling. Hi, Ozell. You're on the air.
Hello. How are you doing today?
Very well. What's on your mind, Ozell?
Well, I've been hearing all Ricky, but I was into rock and Christian and jazz music. And then I heard him on a Mylon Lefebvre album. And I was just kind of blown away by it. And I've been a big fan of him ever since then. Oh, I really, and then when I heard him say, talk about another song that he sang a little while ago, Christian music, I really love his voice on Christian music.
We'll give you some right here, Ozell, if I may, Ricky. Or
yes, sir.
And we'll talk about it, because religious faith has been very important to Ricky Skaggs and for a long, long time, maybe all the way. This is off of 1999, Soldier of the Cross of the album, Remember the Cross, Ricky Skaggs and Kentucky Thunder.
Remember the cross on which Jesus died. Follow in his footsteps each day. He shed his blood for you, and he shed his blood for me. Never cast that cross aside.
Remember the cross? You are very upfront about the importance of your faith in your life and your artistic life, Ricky.
Yes, I am. I'm a believer that I just believe the Bible, and I think the Bible says that everything was created for Jesus and by Jesus. God created all things, and certainly music is part of His creation, and we're part of His creation, and I think we're to be creative like He is creative. And so my faith is really the foundation. It's the core of my life, not just in music, but the way I deal with people, the way I do my business.
Mm-hmm.
We try to always be above reproach on in our business and things like that. So, it's just the right way for me. My wife Sharon, we're both strong believers, and our kids and. But for me, it's the right way to live.
May I ask you, politics and religion have gotten, they've been mixed up in a lot of cultures for a long time, but certainly in this country and around country music some lately as well. Are your politics and your religion related? You were famously out there for George W. Bush. I think you were a Trump supporter last year. I don't know how you think about how he's doing
sir.
Now, but do those things weave together, or are they different tracks to you?
Well, I think it's an opportunity that we all have, and it's really our right to vote. And my faith and my beliefs certainly are something that I think about when I do vote for someone. If they have, I'm very pro-life. I'm very pro-family. Very pro Israel and God's people. I mean, it's what he called it, because Scripture says, you know, they didn't choose him, he chose them. And so I'm not going to argue with God about that. So there's things that we're very intentional and very definite about. But, you know, there's no perfect solution. There's no perfect president. We never have had one, you know, never in our history. And I'm sure there was things about, you know, President Washington that mm-hmm. you know, people fussed about, you know.
Sure.
And it did certainly through the Obama administration, and it's going to, you know, dog, you know, President Trump as well. But I think it's important that we share our faith. I think it's important that we talk. I don't want to use any kind of a bully pulpit when I'm on stage. I never get on stage really, and I'll talk about my faith on stage because that is my core. You know, politics is not my core. Mm-hmm. It's not. Mm-hmm. But you know, we're commanded to pray for our leaders and people in power and authority. But as far as we're not commanded to you know, go in a voting booth, but it is an opportunity, and it's something that, you know, if you want change, you've got to get involved and go do that kind of thing. But I never tell people who to vote for from a stage. I'd never do that, you know. And I want to, you know, I've got a lot of, you know, conservative friends. I've got a lot of liberal friends. I mean, you know, the guy was talking about Bruce Hornsby earlier, mm-hmm. and you know, Bruce and I could not be farther apart on our political styles and what we believe in. And but you know, it's the music really that knits us together, the love of the music and our friendship. And I would never let my political thoughts break a friendship with somebody like Bruce. I just would never do that, because as a Christian, you know, I'm going to put God first. I'm not going to put Donald Trump first or Obama or anyone else like that. I would never put any man first. I would always put God first.
Let's go to the music. That's where everybody gets around the table together, maybe. And you've got your mandolin there. We've waited the whole hour for it.
I do.
For a little live Ricky Skaggs on mandolin, the old original. As far as I know, it's something new you haven't even given a title to yet.
I haven't, so don't rip me off out there, people.
Okay.
I've actually done it live a few times, so we do have a tape of it, so, you know.
Okay, just so you know, fresh as can be, Ricky Skaggs, live from Nashville.
All right. Let me make sure I'm in tune here.
You do it.
All right, here we go.
Ricky Skaggs, live in Nashville. I love that kind of off-kilter, sideways sound. What key is that? Or what makes that kind of angle on it?
Well, you hello.
Yeah, I got you.
Am I on? There
yes,
we are.
You are.
You know, we call that in the mountains, we call that a mountain minor. It's not really, it doesn't have it's that.
Yep. Yeah, mountain minor, so, and that's yeah. M-I-N-O-R.
Right. Not a mountain right. Minor with a hat on.
Right.
You know, so you're hearing instead of see how much happier mm-hmm. that makes that.
Yep.
This
yep.
has got more stank and lonesomeness
yes,
to it.
Yes, exactly.
Instead of okay.
Yeah. So, the world never goes away.
Oh, I set my timer so I wouldn't play too long.
Oh, good. No, there's no problem at all. We've only got you for another minute or so. What's the difference in mindset or the how your body sets up if it's guitar versus mandolin?
Well, these instrumentals that I write are mostly from a mandolin perspective but there's certain songs that, you know, the mandolin, I wouldn't have, you know, played that song quite as well earlier, you know, the Halfway Home Cafe. Mm-hmm. The guitar is just so much more of an accompaniment. It's like a hillbilly's piano, you know, a country guy's piano, you know, because everybody writes, you know, so much from a piano perspective. Mm-hmm. But I love the guitar, and if I was on a desert island somewhere and I could only take one instrument, I'd probably, you know, take a guitar with me. But
As much as I
love my mandolin, oh, don't get mad at
because
me.
Because you can sing along with the guitar more
yes,
easily.
Yes, absolutely. Yes, mm-hmm. yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow. What a pleasure it's been to have you with us today. It's just terrific, and I know you're out there touring these days, and people can catch up with that and find you around the country. Up in our neck of the woods, I think, this weekend, which is great. A bit of Beverly Mills, which is just terrific. Ricky Skaggs, it's an honor and a privilege, and a lot of fun to have you with us. And to have you playing live especially, just a real treat. I want to thank you for it.
Well, thank you. It's great to be with you. And if people want to know more about me, they can get my book called Kentucky Traveler, My Life in Music. And I should have said ... so far, but there's a lot left. There's a lot more to go.
Check it out. Kentucky Traveler 2013, the memoir, the autobiography of Ricky Skaggs. Behind us right here, 1 Corinthians 1:18. Ricky Skaggs and the Kentucky Thunder. Ricky Skaggs in Nashville, our deep thanks to you. Thank you very much for being with us today.
You're welcome. Great to be on with you, Tom.
Listeners, thanks so much for joining us. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.